on this edition of The Self-Publishing Show.
Do you think at some point in the future, John Milton might meet Atticus?
No.
Not even in passing, just as a kind of nod to the readers who read both series?
No, those streams won't cross, that's for sure. They're definitely not.
That sounds really boring then.
Publishing is changing. No more gatekeepers. No more barriers. No one standing between you and your readers. Do you want to make a living from your writing? Join indie bestseller Mark Dawson and first-time author James Blatch as they shine a light on the secrets of self-publishing success. This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Hello and welcome. It's The Self-Publishing Show with me, James Blatch.
And me, Mark Dawson.
It's a self-publishing show live today. We're going to be talking about the self-publishing show live.
We are, yes, and we're live now and talking about the live show. So absolutely, yes, it's a...
You and I are live, but when people listen to this, we're not dead. That's not the opposite of not recording
more,
live. We're recorded. Yeah, I mean, who knows? We might be, but hopefully not. Yes, look, we're going to be talking about the live conference we had in London. We're going to talk about some exciting possible plans for next year. We'd like to get your feedback on that as a possibility. So we would like to move towards announcing dates and venues for next year. I know that I'll tell you what we will do before this episode goes out, and I'll give the URL. We will set up a waiting list page to get people. I know people are chomping at the bit. We're getting lots of emails saying, so we'll get a waiting list, first come, first serve type thing going. If you want to go to SPS Live, it'll be selfpublishingformula.com/SPS Live, and that will be somewhere you can sign up to register your interest in coming to the conference in 2024, but might not be in London. So that is a something
we
talk about.
We don't know that.
We don't know. No, we're asking the question what you'd think about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. We do want to look back at the live conference. And of course, we're going to tell you about the sessions that are included, which is all of the sessions at the conference and bonus sessions in the digital version of the conference, which is now live. After a sort of mammoth series of Q&As that I did on Facebook.
Yeah, you did very well. I was in Warsaw for one of the days, and I could see, I was keeping an eye on things and see James was online for about 7 hours each day doing interviews live on Facebook, and looked really good. So, you know, that was very impressive. Zero effort for me, but James did all the work. So really, really impressive. And yeah, some really good sessions in there as well.
It was fun. Okay, so... the conference itself took place in June, middle of June, in London at the South Bank Centre. So the South Bank is the kind of concrete jungle, I used to call it, but it's a really vibrant place now. In fact, it's really picked up in the last 10 years or so. There was a period, I think, after it was built when it became a bit of a back alley you wouldn't necessarily want to walk down, but now it's a throng of tourists.
White elephant.
Street. Yeah. I mean, you know, the buildings themselves are controversial. I'm not a huge fan, but inside they're fantastic theatres. National Theatre is amazing. The Queen Elizabeth Hall, where we have our conference, is amazing. And it's really fun to be in there, especially if you get a chance to see backstage. I'll ask for a tour of backstage if we go there next year, if we go there. So it's a good place to be. And we had reasonable weather apart from an absolutely torrential storm.
Oh, yeah. God.
Just as we opened, like for the half an hour before we opened, as people were arriving, it was the most torrential rain, like tropical rainstorm in London. But the rest of the time was lovely. And by the evening, when we had our party, thank goodness, we all spilled outside, which is a nice thing to do. And the conference itself, we always say we want sort of motivational, practical tips to come out with it. We started then on day one with a session from Bella Andre on translations. So translations is that classic money on the table issue, Mark, isn't it? We have these products. You've put a lot of time and effort into writing these books. And without translating them, they're not earning that. There's this market there of German language speakers and so on who are not reading them. So this is a route you have gone down. And when did you first translate? It wasn't that long ago, was it, actually?
Oh, you know, 5 years, 6 years ago. But maybe, yeah.
Well, that long.
Well, that's quite a long time. 6 years ago is, you know, it's in the indie space is basically... between the Paleolithic times, so that word, you know, yeah, it's a long time.
Jurassic.
So, I did it in Germany. I think I've probably got over 40 books in German now. And I mean, we've mentioned before that it's definitely worthwhile. And it would probably be, I think now it would be the thing I did before even audiobooks. I think that German is really for not for every author, but for plenty of authors, it would be something that you'd be crazy not to do now. So, and some have showed that I've now got four books in the works in French. So doing the first four Milton's in French at the moment. So that's, we'll see how that goes. Cause, and that was Bella basically, inspiring me to do that, because she's done very well in German, obviously, but also in French and Spanish and Italian, I think. So, yeah, I don't want to leave money on the table. I think those markets are becoming maturer now. I mean, Germany is a mature market. I think France, you know, in terms of ebooks on Amazon, is becoming more viable. So I want to be there as that becomes more a way to sell books to readers in France. If that is now kind of coming on stream a bit more, then I want to be there at the start.
Yeah, I think France is a really interesting one, because traditionally France is a very French country, which is a really odd thing to say, but they buy French cars, they eat French products.
Yes.
They celebrate French culture. They're patriotic in that sense. And that definitely has fed into culture as well. The French film industry is an amazing film industry, one of the most vibrant outside of Hollywood and probably the UK. But very French, again, sort of odd thing to say about France. Of course, it's French, but you know what I mean. But we had a French author on recently who packages up her books as if she's American, because there is now a growing number of readers, this is probably down to TikTok and social media, younger people who don't just want to read French culture. They probably do that, but they also want to read American and UK books. And so that is suddenly happening in France, probably to the chagrin of the older generation, but it's definitely happening. France is becoming a vibrant market. So Bella Andre is a romance author though, Mark. So, you know, you're expecting that what's happened for her will happen for thrillers, people like you and me in France.
Yeah, I think it's definitely something that we should be thinking about. And, Bella is an expert in that. And when Bella, that was one of my favorite sessions, listening to Bella talk about that on stage was, and she was very frank about numbers and the amount of money that she's made and the cost of it as well, which was interesting. I think you could see some people, their jaws dropped open, as she mentioned, the money she's put down. But then, you know, looking at the money she's made back, the investment was worth it for her.
Speculate to accumulate and all that. Yeah, so Bella went into a lot of detail in that session. It was 45 minutes of breaking it down and also showing process so that you can replicate that. She is actually doing an online course for us at the moment, to the early stages of that. But that session is available, of course, as part of the digital package. If you've not already watched it, please go and watch that. If you're not enrolled, you can enroll and get everything that we're going to talk about today and loads more. For ridiculously cheap $99 at selfpublishingformula.com/digital. Okay, next session was Damon Courtney, Beginner Book Marketing, Building Your Book Funnel with Book Funnel. So Book Funnel is an organization that has obviously solved a problem for authors in trying to send out their free books, and in the old days using spreadsheets and emails, and it was very laborious and time consuming and slow for the reader. And now it's an instant automatic thing thanks to Book Funnel. But I'm always reminded by Damon when I talk to him and go to look at Book Funnel that it does a lot more than that now, and you can run a small publishing empire using Book Funnel.
You can, yeah. So he's built on it, on a very good idea to start with. He's built things on top of that since then, and Book Funnel for finding readers with kind of joint giveaways is a very popular way to use that service. He handles delivery for having your own store. So I've done that a few times using PayHip to take the money, and then Book Funnel automatically sends out the book once the money's been received. So things like that, he's great, and audio as well, doing that as well. So Damon is always worth listening to. I've got a lot of experience now, and has hundreds, probably thousands of authors use Book Funnel now. So he has his finger on the pulse when it comes to what's working, what isn't working.
Yeah, and audiobooks, which you can upload to Book Funnel, and he will distribute them. They even have their own audiobook player. So I'm exclusive of my two audiobooks I've had done so far. But I'm thinking about coming out of that. I've given that a long run inside Audible, but I own the copyright. I commissioned them. So that's, moving over to direct selling. I don't know if I've spoken in detail about our trip to Book Vault, but it's got my mind worrying about direct selling and setting up a more robust system. But having potentially my audiobooks distributed by Book Funnel is definitely an option.
Yeah.
You keep all that money to yourself. Those margins are much bigger. Then we had our panel on regional crime. Now you can talk about this because you were on it.
Yeah, so regional crime is big genre right now in the UK in terms of the amount of readers. You just look at the top 100, there'll be a dozen probably regional crime stories in there. And yeah, you know, I do that too with Atticus. Is a regional crime series set in Salisbury. But we had four other authors on stage with me and Jasper Joffe doing the moderating. And you know, lots of interesting discussions were had and some good questions that we answered just as to why we took the commercial decision to write in that genre, or why we felt that was what we wanted to do, follow the muse. But yeah, interesting discussion with Jasper, who publishes quite a lot of successful regional crime authors. So it was a fun one to be on.
Do you think it's regional crime as big in the States as it is in the UK?
Well, I can't speak to kind of regional US regions. Whether you get kind of Florida mysteries, you probably do. Well, Carl Heisen is a good example of that. But I doubt that kind of the regional crime stories would sell as well. In the US, you don't often see, big selling like J.D. Kirk. You wouldn't see him high in the charts in the US, I don't think. But that doesn't matter. I mean, you can still do exceptionally well in the UK. I mean, Atticus has been a really big success for me over the last 6 months, especially to the extent that I can see Atticus taking, an equal standing with Milton in terms of, once I've got, I mean, I've got three books in that series, but they're selling really well. So if I had 10 books, I think that could be, could be really, really good. So yeah, not necessarily selling as strongly outside the UK, but not really a problem.
Yeah, they are hugely successful in the UK, and they often get converted into TV series. And and we all love that. My wife and I look always casting around for the next series to watch, and those regional detective miniseries, Happy Valley was the most recent one, are definitely, we're drawn to them. Do you think at some point in the future, John Milton might meet Atticus?
No, they'll...
Not even in passing, just as a kind of nod to the readers who read both series?
No, those streams won't cross, that's for sure. They're definitely not. I thought about that.
That sounds really boring then. It doesn't have to be, thematically. You don't have to change the tone of the book. They could just meet.
Yeah, for me, it doesn't work that way. They're two distinct worlds, and I don't, there's no kind of linkage between the two.
But they're real world.
There's plenty of kind of Easter eggs in the Milton books with other characters, but that's for me, as a writer, it's integral to me that those two have to remain separate and distinct. So, no,
boo.
It won't happen.
Boo. Okay, so we then had a session on craft. This was going to be from Christina Stanley, but she had a nightmare, planes, trains, and automobiles, a nightmare getting across. So she founded Fictionary, and this was the 5-step formula to perfecting a story. So it was a craft session delivered by Shane Miller on story structure. Always useful, always something you want to listen to. And if you want to hear the Christina version, it's part of our bonus content. We actually had a Q&A with Christina. So that's currently in the process of being added to the bonus content to the digital session as well. So hear from Christina herself, and we talked, I think Christina and Jenny Nash, I love talking to both of them. They talk very similar language, of course, because there's basically only one way to write, one way a story works, different ways of talking about it, but really useful session for all of us at whatever stage we are in our writing. The afternoon of day one, Dave Chesson constructing the perfect Amazon sales page. And Dave's a great example of someone who's just dialed into one area of our work, the kind of metadata and Amazon side of things, and made it his own. That was a useful session, Mark. Did you see much of that?
Yeah, I saw a piece of it, and I've seen some of the recording. And yeah, Dave's got a lot of experience now in looking at the kind of the data that underpins book listings on Amazon. So he's always worth listening to. And yeah, it's lovely to get him over from the States to come and do a session for us.
Yeah, Dave is definitely worth listening to. A really good guy. And getting those details right, there's lots of margins in our business. You've got to get lots of details right to really get it as a frictionless episode as possible for a potential reader, and Dave is somebody to listen to on that. So really good 45 minutes again of instruction on that. Then we had Craig Martell, Pearls of Wisdom from Craig Martell, What's Not to Love, of Craig, who's been there and done it, is one of the leaders in our industry, and always entertaining.
Yeah, Craig, great. And I mean, that went down really well. It's kind of a more motivational and I think fairly kind of get out your own way session, which is sometimes you need to hear that. And delivered by an ex-Marine, always always good. And I got lots of positive feedback as I was walking through the foyer after Craig's session. So, you know, that was a good one.
Hoo-ah. Is it hoo-ah? That's what they say.
Bless you.
Thank you. Actually, talking of getting out of your own way and motivational session, Kate Pickford was up next, and she does talk about that. You Are the Mountain is one of her things. Kate has, again, a very strong line of wisdom of understanding and not being put off by the things that are difficult, which is, you know, what happens to us. And I've got a friend just starting to write now, and, you know, she's very down on herself about her stuff. It's just not good enough. She keeps saying, no, I'll keep writing, but it's rubbish. But we all think that, right? Ernest Hemingway thinks that, or thought that. And it's easy to give up. It's the easiest thing to do. But the best thing to do is to work out that this is a normal part of the process, is when you start writing a first draft. However experienced you are, it can be poor, but you get there. And you get there by putting the graft in and rewriting and revising. I mean, I think a lot of experienced writers, and I would include you with this now, probably write a pretty neat first draft, but you are 40, 50 books into your writing career.
Yeah, and to feel kind of unsure about the quality of your writing is completely normal. And I get that. Actually, weirdly enough, I've just I sent the new Milton out to my advanced readers on Friday, and and I was thinking, this is the worst book I've ever written. It's rubbish. They'll hate it. And I've had about 15 of them come back saying, this is the best one you've ever written. So it's completely, it's normal. I get it. Even after, you know, doing this for 10 years, I still feel that way. So don't worry about it. And Kate's session is a good antidote to those kinds of negative and completely understandable feelings.
Did they love that scene where he finally met Atticus? No, you're not doing that.
Mm-hmm. No, hating that.
Okay, and now we had a less controversial session on artificial intelligence. So we had a discussion with Stuart Baish and Hannah Lynn and Dan Wood, where we just talked about AI for authors. And it is a very, very controversial subject. You were saying you've been looking through some of the discussions on social media, incredibly vitriolic. A lot of authors find themselves in the camp of simply against the whole idea of AI being involved in any way, shape or form in publishing. I think there's probably a minority who are gung-ho using it for writing, which is very controversial. And then there's a middle ground, and I would include myself in that, to be honest, where I see the tools in marketing, you know, finding targets in Facebook, using ChatGPT for that, helping me with copy. I put my copy lines in there so you can give me variations on that, just bits of copy that go into ads, but not going any further than that in terms of writing. Personally, I like Midjourney. Stuart Baish talks very authoritatively about whether it's stealing images from people, and he thinks it's not because of the way it works. He's looked really closely into it, and actually built into Photoshop now is a level of AI filling, which is becoming normal anyway. So we have all of that going on, but that does not stop this being an incredibly hot topic and very controversial, and projects are springing up and then being burnt down by public opinion at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, it's we're not going to get into it here because we could talk about this for 2 hours basically, but it is as we record this, there is a service called Prosecraft that was basically taken offline by its creators last night after a fairly vitriolic backlash on Twitter, standard Twitter, I suppose, or X, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Now, whereby
Zitter.
Yeah, there was some. It wasn't, I don't think it was AI, weirdly enough, but it was close enough for people to think that it was, and that's enough sometimes. But there were certainly some questions as to where the books that he was using for his kind of text analysis tool were coming from. And there's the suggestion, I don't know whether it's true or not, that they may have been pirated copies that he scraped, and, you know, so all kinds of stuff there. But the response was, you know, even people just have this mindset about AI that, you know, most people, most authors, I think, just hate it. And that's fine, I guess. But sometimes they hate it without really understanding. And I include myself in this. I don't really understand some of how this has been done. And I think that's probably most of us. We don't really know exactly how ChatGPT was trained. We don't exactly know how it was, you know, how the work was fed into it, where it came from. We got some ideas, and you know, what we've been told by the developers. But, you know, is that true? Who knows? Images are the same. There's all kinds of stuff that we hear about that. And the law also is very, very confusing and frankly outdated, because the law is copyright law hasn't had a chance to catch up with developments which are moving very, very quickly at the moment. So that's all to say that it is a very fraught area with a lot of hot-blooded responses and kind of hair trigger reactions all the time. So it was an interesting session that we put on, and I think all of the presenters had a degree of nervousness before they went on stage, because you just don't really know what kind of reaction you're going to get. But it's we can't ignore it. You know, it's coming.
No.
Pandora's box is open now, and it is not going back in the box. So we've either got to kind of deal with it, adapt or die. Basically, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, I mean, what we don't really know how much AI is involved in a Google search now, behind the scenes, and it will soon be part and parcel of the Google search. You'll be able to type into Google the sort of things you can type into ChatGPT. That won't be that far away, and then it'll be being used by everybody around you. And if you're still saying, I'm never going to touch AI, you're going to find it increasingly difficult to actually live like that, I think. But so we will need to come to some sort of accommodation on it, but at the moment it's a raw subject for many. But there's a very good discussion. If you go and watch that, it's a 50-minute panel discussion. Stuart does some demonstrations. Hannah Lynn has written a book on the subject. Dan Wood is an authority on many aspects of publishing. So a really good discussion panel on AI for Authors, Help or Hindrance. Okay, so that was the main day. All those sessions available on the digital version of the conference. And then we have three sessions added to that just for the digital conference side of things. One of those is an hour-long session called Digital Authors Toolkits, a website in an hour, done by Stuart Grant, too many Stuarts. And he uses the Wix platform and shows you how you can create a very professional-looking website in under an hour. And talking of AI, Wix have introduced an AI-based tool for authors. Actually, I don't know if it's live yet, but it's going to be live because Stuart's on the inside of that, where basically you can say, I'm a thriller writer, I want a red color palette, and it does the design for you and just hands it to you, and then you tweak it. And that's either available now or available soon. So Stuart's all over that. There's a session from BookBub on how to promote any book with BookBub ads. Hello, Mads. And that's Mark's tea arriving, I guess. Or coffee. Needs to bought his own mug.
Coffee.
Coffee, of course. BookBub have done two sessions that go into the digital conference, how to promote any book with BookBub ads. And Steve Higgs has made Making Millions with Marketing. So Steve is a dynamo in self-publishing, and he tackles and gets hold of almost every new thing in publishing and makes it work for him. So it's a bit of an all-rounder session there, a bit of a motivational session. So they are part of the bonus content. And in addition, will be appearing in the next week or so will be the Q&As with BookBub, among others, where we deep dive into some of those areas. And you got to ask your questions directly to BookBub. And we answered them in our Amazon Lives, our Facebook Lives, I should say, yesterday. Okay, we're halfway through and we are on to day two. We're going to have a quick mention of what was there and what you can expect if you sign up to the digital conference. The first session was Mark Recklow, Failure to Fortune, The Essentials. So Mark was a big hit at our conference last year, and he's another dynamo, but he's somebody I think who has this ability to cut through the BS and basically say, this is why you're successful. And if ever there's someone who illustrates there's no magic fairy dust about this, it's what you do that gives the results. It's Mark Rackler's talk, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Mark is great. We love Mark. He's a lovely guy and a really good speaker. And again, I deliberately programmed him this year because I wanted people to kind of feel infused after they finished listening to him, his talk. And I think, again, the comments I got in the foyer afterwards, he was extremely well received. So, you know, this is definitely one. If you're feeling you need a little bit of momentum, a bit of a pat on the back, then this will be one session that you should probably schedule first of all.
Yeah. Next up, it was you, Mark, with Orna Ross talking about the big indie author data drop, insights to independent author income and growth. And this was on the back of a traditionally published led survey that was very doom and gloom about author earnings. There's never been a worse time to be a writer. Whereas we advocate, there's never been a better time to be a writer. And so we set out to do a bigger survey that included the indie population. And the results were, as we predicted, different.
Yeah, exactly. So money is going down for trad authors and going up for indie authors. We knew that would be what we found. And you know, we didn't prejudge it. It was independently administered by, independently analysed by the same company or the same academics that looked at the Society of Authors survey. But yeah, Orna and I just took the opportunity to go on stage and just talk about the headline findings. And, you know, it's interesting. We pushed it out to press contacts, hoping that we might be able to get the same kind of coverage that the first survey got, and we didn't get anywhere near it. They're just not interested. It's so weird. And it's one of those things I should be inured to this by now, but I don't know whether it's just because it's not bad news sells newspapers, maybe, or they still, after 10 years of being slapped around the face by authors like me saying that there's another way, they just don't seem interested. And I don't care. It's annoying, but when those things get used to it. But the takeaway from this session is that if you're feeling doubtful that you've made the wrong choice or that you kind of secretly wish you were traditionally published, you should definitely have a look at this session, because you should, if you analyze it, if you listen dispassionately with an open mind, you will go away, I think, feeling a lot better about the decision that you've made. As I've said before, being turned down for my third book was probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because I don't think we'd be doing this podcast now. If I was still traditionally published, I probably would have a second job. I couldn't afford to, you know, live off being an author. Whereas, you know, at the way that I've chosen to do it is, you know, it's just amazing. So, you know, it's a good session.
It is frustrating, isn't it, how the indie world is still sort of in the shadows. I don't really understand quite why it's not looked at as being as vibrant and rock and rollish as it actually is. It's a hugely exciting, dynamic world. And, but I tell you what is happening is that organizations that have operated in the traditional published space for a while, and we visited Book Vault, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, are switching their attention and their focus to the indie world rapidly, and more organizations are doing that. The guy I interviewed last night, who's coming up on our podcast soon, runs a service, and he's now completely thinking, I've been overlooking the indie space. It's where it's happening. But you know, it's still not got the leeway. I interviewed Lloyd Richards Devereux yesterday, an interview coming up, him and his daughter did a TikTok on him. He wrote one book 11 years ago, published by Thomas and Mercer, eventually got Thomas and Mercer to publish it, but it didn't do very well, did nothing, had no sales in January this year, although that is 10 years later, to be fair. But he wrote the sequel, and his daughter made a little TikTok of a 16 seconds long, saying how proud she was of him, that he hadn't given up his dream, and he writes because he loves writing and he wants to tell this story. And that TikTok got 50 million views, went absolutely viral. Everyone bought his book. He was number one in the overall store for a month this year. It was in all the newspapers. It was on every TV show going in America and even in the UK. During that time, they very kindly came on the podcast and interviewed them. And at one point, I did just say, because he's now written book two and he's been picked up by HarperCollins, and HarperCollins are publishing book two. Thomas and Mercer were apparently very gracious about it, because it was always his dream to be published. And I did say to him and his daughter, you know, you did so much of this yourself. Did you not consider self-publishing? And Marguerite said, we just don't know anything about it. Which is a very typical answer for so many people. And I guess that's the reason why the trad industry doesn't like talking about indie publishing. They don't want writers to know about it, is the truth of it.
Well, maybe. Take that. Yeah, anyway, whatever.
Maybe. Okay, last session on that morning of day two was with Matthew Perry, not that one, but from TikTok, Matthew Perry, equally famous. And they talked about selling with TikTok Shop and a bit about how to use TikTok to sell your books. Obviously, a very hot topic. There was an hour talk there. He brought on two authors who are doing very well. Neither of them are romance, actually, which I thought was interesting. And some really good tips from the horse's mouth, from TikTok themselves. And the UK TikTok, very dynamic, very into indie publishing. And they are the ones who are working hard to roll out new features. They do get to the States eventually. TikTok Shop is linked with authors now in BookTok. You can list your books in the UK and sell them directly on your TikToks with a link, which I'm doing actually, but it will be rolled out in the US soon, I'm sure. Yeah, that was the end of the first morning of day two and the last afternoon of the conference. We had three sessions, starting with Britt Andrews, Building a Fandom. And Britt came on for another live Q&A as part of the digital release sessions. That will be included in the bonus. Always fun to talk to her. And she's, again, she talks in practical terms about running Facebook groups and liaising with your readers and how to turn your fans into super fans and so on. It's been so important for her and her publishing building. But in her own right, I think is an inspirational character.
Yeah, she's done. I heard some of the story. I listened to her presentation in the hall, and some of the things that I didn't know about her, and there were a few. I think there's a few people kind of slightly damp eyes at a certain point. So Britt's story is really cool, and we're very pleased to play a tiny part in that. But she's successful because she writes great books and she knows how to foster her fandom. And I'm very impressed with what she's done, and she's lovely. So it's been a privilege to watch her go from nothing to go to a significant, very, very significant career as an author.
Yeah, we're particularly proud at SBF for two reasons. One is that she's a foundation winner, our charitable arm that funds authors who are facing hardship but are good writers. And secondly, she attributes Ads for Authors course for her success. And on that note, the Ads for Authors course will be open for enrollment mid-September. Mm-hmm. If you want to try and emulate Britt, and she's doing fantastically well. She is a superstar. We love her. Then we had Meet the Kindle Storyteller winners. So the Kindle Storyteller Award is run in the UK. I don't think there's an American equivalent that I've seen, but it's you can enter it when you publish your book in a certain time of year for some reason, kind of spring to end of August, right now, actually. I think it's open at the moment. So if you publish a book at this period, you can change one of your keywords to this the Kindle Storyteller hashtag type thing, and you get automatically entered, and they shortlist it. You've been a judge in the past, Mark, and we had a panel of the winners of this award. How do you judge them? How do you decide? Just whether you like the book?
Yeah, it's completely on the books, which was our favorite book, simple as that. So Darren from Amazon moderated that panel, and so we had, I think, all of them all by one. I can't remember, but certainly all, if not all of them, then almost all. And just to see where they've gone since winning the prize. And winning the prize is pretty cool. It's, I think, £20,000. And a deal with Thomas and Mercer, potentially. I don't know, but yeah, it's a pretty good prize. And people like Hannah Lynn coming back on stage, David Ledbetter and Ian Sainsbury, people like that coming back and telling us about the things that have happened to them since they won the prize. It's always nice to kind of catch up with their success and see what they're doing now.
Indeed. And the final session of the conference was actually you and Emma Boyer from Written Word Media talking about Hello Books. Our collaboration with Hello Books was fully announced, and we talked about the stacks. So that's one of the big ideas from Bargain Booksy, Free Booksy, Red Feather, and so on, is that when you go in and buy a Hello Books, and I did this morning actually for one of our books at Fuse, and then you get offered to stack it. So in our case, my case, it was a romance book, so we're stacking it with Red Feather. And that's a really powerful, once you stack those up together, that becomes a very significant way of getting your free or discounted book in front of readers. And that was, we're happy to announce that. And there's been another announcement actually this week, in that Hello Books is now has a second run a week. So a Tuesday, we've sold out on availability. Romance completely sold out. But now with Tuesday, you can get a free romance slot, I think, in August, and you can get, as of this morning, 99p in September. So they're still selling out quickly, but
yeah,
there are new slots available.
They're selling fast. So as we record this, that might be true, but by Friday when it goes out, it might not be true. So it is.
Yeah, that's true.
We've been waiting a while to make sure that the reader audience was sufficient to kind of make it worthwhile for authors to put a deal out on a Tuesday, and we think it is now. We've done some tests; it looks fairly robust. So yeah, it's cool. So Tuesday and Friday now, and when we think, as we, you know, we're investing everything in building the reader audience, and as that gets bigger, we'll open a third date. But you know, for now, for the next few months, we'll have Tuesdays and Fridays. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, and a couple of quick things on Hello Books. I get asked occasionally, is it a separate audience now that it's with Bargain Books? You're going for the same audience. It is a completely separate audience. They are walled off between each other, and we build the Hello Books audience. It's something that Mark and I do, so that's being built separately from whatever ecosystem they have building an audience for Bargain Booksy. And the second thing to say is that Hello Books, I think, has always punched above its weight. Even when the reader list was quite small in the early days, we always got good feedback from people. And Mark and I keep a careful tab on that now that we've merged with Hello Books. And the feedback is still very, very strong. If anything, it's got better. We should expect as the list got bigger as well. So we're really pleased that this relationship that we've formed with Written Word Media is protecting Hello Books and growing it in exactly the way that we formed it in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're great. Great team. We're very happy to work with them.
Right, finally, we have a set of bonus content for day two, and that includes a session with Brad, not Brad Andelman. I spoke to Brad Andelman on the Q&A, but the other Brad has done a session adding heading backgrounds with Vellum, something I hadn't really considered before, but very easy to do, and they look great. So particularly if you write, I think, something like a fantasy book, romance books, you can have fantastic chapter backgrounds as you go into them, and they can be different for every chapter. In fact, it gave me an idea to do a special edition of The Final Flight. The Final Flight, my first novel, is done by days of the week. It's sequential days of the week. And I could have a 1960s style calendar as the sort of chapter headings in the background, which on my list of many things to do. That's a really good session you get there. There's also a session with BookBrush's Kathleen Sweeney on animation and ads. I must confess, I don't use animation enough, so I'm going to watch that session myself and start applying some of those. BookBrush is an excellent tool for generating ad content. And then another session with BookBub. I said earlier they did two sessions, and this is how to boost new release sales with BookBub. So they actually have a range of new release options, and a couple of them you need to be aware of because you need to apply for them before your book is released, and then others are available to you even in the early days of your book being available. And finally, a session with Isabel Knight on how to create your author brand story. It's something that terrifies many authors, but a very important part of why readers buy your books, why they part with money for your books, is because they're supporting you. They want to be part of your story. And that's what Isabel teaches in that session. And we also have a Q&A live with her to add to that as well, which should be there in the next couple of weeks. Right, so that's everything available to you on the digital package. That is the digital conference, includes all the live conference stuff and all that bonus content. If you go to selfpublishingformula.com/digital to access that, very, very well worth it. If you only spend $99 this year on something, spend it on all that content, because there's stuff in there that'll keep you going for months and make a big improvement to the way that you market your books. Absolutely. I've been talking a lot this week.
Yeah, we're talking a lot this year. That's true. Yes. So, it's really good. And the content is very highly produced. Looks really super pro. Very, you know, great camera angles, multiple camera angles. You know, excellent sound. It's something that we spend quite a lot of money to make sure that it's as good as we can make it. So, you know, hopefully, if you grab that, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. So, definitely take a look at that.
Now, our last thing to say is what's happening with 2024, which is the most asked question at the moment. Are you going to do a conference next year? I think the answer to that is a fairly firm yes. We haven't signed any contracts yet, but yes, we want to do the self-publishing show live in 2024. We are considering a change of venue, a significant change of venue. So we've had the South Bank Centre for 3 years. We love it. It's a big venue. It's very prestigious. But there's a lot to be said for moving to a destination place like Cambridge. So Cambridge is the place we've been looking for, looking at in the UK. And yesterday I spent all day with Catherine going through colleges and venues, the Corn Exchange, hotels, how it's going to look, what the feasibility of moving the conference there is. So Cambridge is about 55 minutes on the train from London to the north. You can get to it from the south. You can get to it from the north via Peterborough, and I think via somewhere like York. I think you take a branch off and it goes to Cambridge. So it is accessible, but not as accessible as London, which is like all roads lead to London in the UK. There won't be as many hotels, but they should be cheaper. London hotel prices are cripplingly expensive, and they certainly were in June. When we hold our conference, it's likely to be early July rather than late June next year. But that is up in the air. And at this stage, we've done as much as we can in terms of feasibility. And we know it's feasible that we can move it there. I'm quite excited about it because I do like Cambridge, but it's your view that counts more than mine. So Mark has actually created a survey. You should be able to find it in our Facebook group. It'll be a pinned post at the top asking you how you would feel about a change of venue for the self-publishing show live in summer 2024. Would you be happy to go to Cambridge, do a bit of punting, see the old world medieval colleges, very Hogwarts there, or would you ultimately prefer it for the convenience and its location, its prestigious nature in London? Handing over to you. So we'll let that run for a couple of weeks or so, and then we'll take stock and make a decision about what we're going to do for next year. But in the meantime, if you want to sign up, get yourself on the short list and make sure you are guaranteed a place when we do release tickets in the autumn. You can go to selfpublishingformula.com/SPS live.
Yeah, so we will. I'll get that survey will be up as we record this, so it should be ready for Friday. Yeah, interesting to see what people think. So we haven't really made our mind up yet, but you know, we will see. But if people are very, very categorical one way or the other, that would definitely help. So yes, you know, we'll take a look at that.
Okay, right, that's it. Thank you very much indeed to the team, to Catherine and Tom and Stuart and Melanie, everyone else who helps put this podcast together. And thank you, Mark. And thank you to our interviewee. That was me, I guess. No, you were an interviewer. I didn't have one. And that's it. All that remains we'd say. Is this a goodbye from him?
Yeah, goodbye from me. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Get show notes, the podcast archive, and free resources to boost your writing career at selfpublishingshow.com. Join our thriving Facebook group at selfpublishingshow.com/Facebook. Support the show at patreon.com/selfpublishingshow. And join us next week for more help and inspiration so that you can make your mark as a successful indie author. Publishing is changing, so get your words into the world and join the revolution with the Self-Publishing Show.